Brianna and Mercedes. Very good. All right, we got the anybody here from was in the Navy? Nobody was in the Navy. Okay, so I was Army. Kelly was Army. Barb was Air Force. Matt was Marines. No Navy people here tonight? What? The Barons are not here. What? Yeah, I'm all set. Okay, if we could all kind of move over here. Kids, if you're here, you should be leaving and dismissed at this time. I find my Bible here. Where's my Bible? I just set it down. There it is. Today is my birthday. And so my wife bought me a ring. It's an Army ring. It's got a little Army emblem on there. But they, a week ago, they sent me a ring. And it's a Navy ring. So I was trying to find someone in the Navy. So I was going to send it back. I said, well, I'll send it back. Send me an Army ring. They said, no, you keep it. So I got a Navy ring here. I was hoping to find somebody in the Navy. Give him a Navy ring. So I had a nurse. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. I had a nice day today because I got to go up to the hospital and hold Coralie for about an hour. So I'm a grandpa now. Very late in life. I'm 63. Finally had a granddaughter. But so I got to hold her for an hour. And that was nice because she was out of the warming box. And she's gained weight. She's up to 5'2 now. So it's getting huge. And my daughter is about 5'2, skinny. She married a Filipino. He's 5'3. So they're up. They're watching up at the hospital right now. And their baby was 4 pounds and 15 ounces a week ago. Well, tomorrow will be a week, so. But anyways, she's doing well, and so if she can keep that temperature up, she'll be able to come home maybe tomorrow. So that'll be nice because they've been up there 6 days. Okay. For anyone that's new, the params are new for Wednesday nights. We've been talking about walking with God on Wednesday nights, walking with God. And this is our 8th lesson. And our text verse is not on here for the whole year, but it's right in this book. So look at Colossians 2 and verse 3. Colossians 2 verse 3. Colossians 2 verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So receiving Christ as salvation, it doesn't say stop there. It says begin there. I like to tell people, believe, be baptized, belong, begin. So walk ye in him, okay? Walk, the word walk here means, in the Bible means make progress with him. Keep in step with Christ. Walk beside him. And as we walk in him, that's the general subject this year. We find it's divided into a whole bunch of little thoughts too. And we come to our walk with Christ. And notice it's in chapter 4 now in verse 5, our text tonight. Colossians 4, 5, it says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. All right, so when we walk in Christ, we're walking in wisdom. Look back at chapter 2 and verse number 3. It's speaking about Christ in the context, and it says this about Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, so if you're going to walk in him, you're going to walk in wisdom. Because in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How much wisdom is there? How much knowledge is there? Well, it's all in Christ, and you're walking with him, and he's in you. That's quite a reservoir to draw from. Now, here's the big question tonight. It could have many different answers, that's for sure. How do you know if you're walking in wisdom? How do you know if you're walking in wisdom? No answers. I'm not going to laugh at anybody here. Just shout out a couple answers here. Sean, what do you think? It would line up with the Scriptures. That's very good. You'd have peace. Okay, we're going to get to that later. Okay. He would supply the answers to the things that you need to deal with. That's very good. The question is, how do you know if you're walking in wisdom? These are all good answers. Here's an answer for you. You don't make many mistakes. In fact, if you're really walking in wisdom, you don't make any mistakes. If you're walking with Christ and you're walking in His wisdom, you're not making mistakes. Now, have you ever seen any believers make mistakes? They're probably not walking in wisdom. Now, we all are human. I was reading about Paul the other day, and you know, he had two warnings from the Holy Ghost. Don't go to Jerusalem. And he went anyway, and boy, did he get in trouble. He got arrested and everything. So it happens. It happens to everybody. But basically, if you as a man or a woman are walking in wisdom, and you're walking in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you're not making a lot of mistakes. Your decisions are right ones, and I think some of you are getting at that with your answers. Boy, we see people get into wrong relationships nowadays, don't we? They're not walking in Christ. They're not walking in wisdom. Look at some of the financial decisions some people make and the burdens, and they get drowning in debt. Because even believers have this, I got this. Did you pray about it? Well, I got it. I got this. And then you watch them and you're like, What were you thinking? Now, give me a biblical definition. And this is spread out through the Word here. We're going to see in a moment. Give me a biblical definition of wisdom. And then my next question is going to be, give me a common sense definition of wisdom. What is the biblical definition of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Brother Kelly's going to read a bunch of verses to us from Job. Would you go to Job 28:28 and begin there? And I'm going to have you all over the place. Read Job 28:28.
And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.
Now, that verse is not on your notes, but you might want to put it on there. In my opinion, that's the best verse in the Bible. Nutshell verse that tells you what wisdom is. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So, question, can you get wisdom at the colleges and universities today? No. They're going to give you knowledge and maybe understanding about that knowledge in many subjects which are needed for our jobs and training and so on and so forth. But are you going to get wisdom at a secular university or college these days? The answer is no. Because the Bible says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. All right, how about we try some more here, Kelly? Psalm 111, verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments.
So now
praise endureth forever.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is repeated over and over again. Can you find Proverbs now? Proverbs 1 and verse 7.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
All right, chapter number 9 now and verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
All right, chapter 15, verse 33.
The fear of the Lord. Two pages stuck together, sorry. They won't come apart. One second.
Is that a new Bible or something?
No, it's just dry fingers. The fear the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
All right. Now, there's about five verses right there. Now, none of those are on your notes. But over and over again, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is either the beginning of wisdom or it is wisdom. You know, so somebody who's a brain surgeon but has no fear of God, they might be smart streetwise, they may have worldly understanding and knowledge, but they don't have biblical wisdom. All right, you can take somebody who's illiterate, man or woman, 70s, 80 years old, illiterate, never been able to read, but they fear God. That person has wisdom. That person has wisdom. All right? Now, let's look at our notes now. So our subject tonight is walking in wisdom. We're talking about walking with God this year. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk with wisdom. Why? Number one, when one walks with God, they walk with wisdom, for God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is the originator of wisdom. And He is understanding. It says His understanding is infinite. He absolutely knows what you should do right now in whatever situation you are in. He absolutely, nothing has ever occurred to God. Nothing has ever taken Him by surprise. And He knows. Okay, so let's look at a verse that says that. So we have a lot of sword drills on Wednesday night. So let's have our first sword drill. Grab your Bible by your binding. Hold it up. And our first one is Psalm 147, verse 5. Go. Psalm 147, verse 5. Just stand up and start reading. All right. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 147, verse 5. His understanding is infinite. There's another verse, I don't know where it is, but says He understandeth our thought afar off. All right, so God is not puzzled by what you are going through. God is not puzzled by what stage of life you're going through. You know, I've been talking to a teen girl lately because she just kind of dropped right out of church and everything at the time in her life when she needs God's wisdom the most. When she will be making the most important decisions of her life right now that are going to affect the next decades of her life. And that's when Satan wants to get our young people away from God. Teens and 20s. Because boy, if he can get you isolated from God, from the flock, from your pastor and everything, where you're not following God, Satan is afraid. It is a threat to Satan's kingdom when a young person finds God's will and starts to live a fruitful life. And he wants to get you, especially with those two things, relationships and who you're going to get involved with and get married with, and money. He does not want you consulting God about those things. And what you're going to do for your mission in life or your work. He doesn't want you consulting God. So he's going to try to get you as far away from God and far away from the Bible, as far away from church as he can in your youth. But Solomon cried out, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Because otherwise you're going to say, my days have had no pleasure. Boy, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But you got to stay near to God. When one walks with God, number one, they walk with wisdom, for God is omniscient. He's omniscient. All right, let's draw swords. Let's have another one. Romans 11:33. Go. Romans 11:33. All right, that was Paul's conclusion after a very complex chapter in the Bible, Romans 11. I don't know if you ever read it or not, but I still scratch my head trying to figure out what's being said here. And he ends the chapter, thankfully, for people like me, with this conclusion, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Boy, I'll tell you, oh, the depths of the wisdom. Why wouldn't anyone want to stay close to God when the depths of his wisdom? Okay, Kelly's got the verses from Job. Job 12:13. What does that one say? Job 12:13.
With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding.
Okay, now can you look at the next one? Proverbs 21:3. That one said, with him is wisdom and strength.
21:3 or 21:30?
21:30.
Okay. There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord.
Isn't that something? There's no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. You and I might not have all the answers, but he does. Okay, and there's nobody that can, you know how sometimes people want to catch the pastor, or what's the phrase I'm looking for? Stump the pastor. Boy, I got a question the pastor couldn't answer. Big deal. You can't stump God, though. There's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You can't stump God. He knows everything. He knows everything. Why wouldn't somebody want to be close to him? All right, so the Bible describes Jesus as having seven spirits, the seven spirits of God. I believe that's a reference to Isaiah 11:1-2. So let's do another sword drill. I think the men have got them all tonight. No? Faith got one. So what's the score? What? We've only done two? Isaiah 11:2. Go. Isaiah 11:2. Okay, if you count those up, including the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see seven spirits there. And I like to use the Bible to translate the Bible. But one of his spirits is the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom, okay? And so again, our point number one tonight is when one walks with God, they walk with wisdom, for God is omniscient. Or he is all-knowing. And why would you leave someone like that? That does not make sense. And if we walk with him and we ask him for wisdom, it says he gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That means we will not be making many or any mistakes. And we don't say that in pride, because we hate pride. Pride's a sin. But you would just be walking in the light of the Lord. It tells us about Jesus after his birth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen? That's when he was a child, filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. And so you want to walk with Christ. And when you do, you're walking with God. Okay, number two, the world, the flesh, and the devil have this corrupted wisdom also. We must be careful not to follow their advice. Okay, so Satan is an imposter. He always tries to You know, if God has His wisdom, He's going to have His wisdom. Notice it's in three categories. Let's look at this. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? This is James 3, verses 13 through 16. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So he's not boastful, he's not proud, he's meek about the wisdom he has. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, it's not heavenly, but is what? Notice the three categories, earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Earthly means of the world, sensual means of the flesh, devilish means of the devil. We've always heard that the world, the flesh, and the devil are our three enemies as a Christian. And they have their own wisdom. The flesh will tell you what to do. And the consequences aren't very good when you follow the wisdom of your flesh. And some of you got some horrible stories from your past, maybe, where the flesh told you to do something. And you did it, and you're still paying the consequences for that to this day. And sometimes we see some believers start dating an unbeliever. And we say, well, you know that's contrary to the Scriptures, don't you? And they say, well, I just feel. And that is sensual wisdom. That's what this verse says. The world, boy, they got wisdom. They got volumes and volumes and volumes of books and libraries with all of their wisdom, earthly wisdom. And then there's devilish wisdom, and he is so crafty, so deceitful, he caused Adam and Eve to fall when they were perfect, living in a perfect environment. So he'll tell you what to do too. And boy, will it sound good. Boy, will it sound good. Boy, you got to be a student of the Bible. All right? The word of wisdom. Let's look at the... Well, let's go to point three for time's sake here. The wisdom from above we are to walk in has seven characteristics to guide us by. So in other words, your decisions have to line up with these seven characteristics. This is mentioned in James 3, verse 17. Again, in Proverbs it says, wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars. James 3:17 tells us now what the seven pillars of wisdom are. All right, and that'll be the rest of our study tonight. The verse says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, we're going to go through these slow. I know I read that fast. But here's the seven characteristics, or the seven pillars of wisdom. Now, notice the word first. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. First pure. God is never going to lead us to do something impure. Ever. Never, ever, ever. Number one is purity. This is first. God's wisdom never leads one to be impure in thought, behavior, practice, words, or actions, but rather to always be true and sincere. Now let's have a sword drill here and figure out what does it say about purity in 1 Timothy 5:22. Hold your Bibles up. 1 Timothy 5:22. Go. Find it, read it, stand up, start reading. Don't stare up. Stand up and stare at me. Okay, keep thyself pure. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, who is a young preacher. He says, keep thyself pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. That's a good thing, isn't it? That doesn't mean literally, physically, but you're going to see things about God most other people won't, because they got too much dirt on their souls, dirt on their hearts. Purity. God's wisdom leads us to a pure life. And you know something? When you think about wisdom, you've never heard anybody on their deathbed saying, "Boy, I regret living a pure life." That's wisdom. Nobody ever says, "Boy, I wish I'd have been filthier in my youth. I wish I'd have been filthier. I wish I'd have been more immoral in my life." Nobody says that at the end of their life. Wisdom at the end of your life is the pure. Those that kept themselves for God and for God's will. Wisdom, first of all, pure. So when you're making decisions in your life, you got to say, "Is this pure?" And it has a deeper meaning. It means, "Is this true? Is this sincere? Is this biblical?" Number two, peace. I think Becky said this earlier. Did you say peace earlier? Judy, you said peace earlier. All right, this is definitely one of the pillars of wisdom. It gives us an element of peace. An element of peace. God's wisdom will bring peace, calmness, tranquility to the mind and soul of the believer who asks God for guidance, guided by the Word. You know, when I was growing up, they used to tell me this: when in doubt, don't. Because God really doesn't work with doubts. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And boy, did that, especially when I was in the Army, boy, did that get me out of a lot of fixes and relationships that I was getting into. And those things just popped into my mind: when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. I shouldn't have even been in those situations, but I was so backslidden, it was pathetic. When in doubt, God doesn't, you know, work in doubts. When you really try to live your life according to the Scriptures and you're praying about everything, there is an element of peace that comes along with your decision. I hate to say this, but I remember one lady was coming down the aisle to get married, and all the way down the aisle, the Holy Spirit was saying, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." She tells me that. They have had the worst marriage. That I said, "You should have listened." I said, "Who cares about the cake and the decorations and the money you threw away? Who cares about that stuff? Listen to the Holy Ghost." Peace. Peace. All right. Now, again, this has to be guided by the Word. Okay, can you take your finger, stick it on a Bible verse, and say, "This is why I'm doing this. God has guided me by the Scriptures, and I have peace about it." God's Word must be involved in wisdom. Draw swords. Colossians 3:16. Go. Sound tired tonight or something. I think. All right. Let the Word of God dwell in your hearts richly. And then what does it say? In all wisdom. See, it's very wise for you to saturate your minds and your hearts with the Bible. Even the parts that you think have nothing to do with you, you'll be amazed at the application God will make someday in your life. From even the hardest parts you're reading. You've got to saturate your mind and your heart with the Word of God. It's got to dwell in your hearts richly in all wisdom. So that when you're praying for wisdom, then the Holy Spirit has a tool, one of His Scriptures, to bring into your mind about the decision you're ready to make. But if you don't have the Word of God in you, He may do you a favor and give you peace if you're about ready to make a right decision, but you better seek some counsel. The multitude of counselors there is safety. So if you're like new in the faith and you don't know the Bible that well, you better seek out somebody who does know the Bible and ask them about the decision you're going to make. Here's an interesting pillar of wisdom. C, gentle. Our text says the wisdom is above, first pure, then peaceful, gentle. God's wisdom is gentle. God leads us to be patient and gentle towards others and towards ourselves, which I don't have on the notes, but sometimes people are their worst enemies. They're always beating each other up, themselves up, because of things they've done in their past, rather than forgetting the things that are done in our past and going on. You got to be gentle with yourself. You got to be gentle with others. And this word gentleness has in its definition patience. Now, gentleness will help bring out the best in those we are ministering to, and it'll bring out the best in you. Some people who are not gentle with themselves end up quitting church. They say, why should I go? And they just beat themselves up. I mean, you got the devil beating you up. You got the world beating you up. The flesh is beating you up. Don't add to that and beat yourself up. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with others. And be gentle or patient in your decisions. So let's have a sword drill here. We're going to have to just read some of the rest of these. But 2 Samuel 22, 36. Go. 2 Samuel 22, 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. David's speaking here, and he says to God, and thy gentleness hath made me great. You know, God wants to make something great out of your life, not in pride, but you got to be gentle with yourself. You got to be gentle with yourself while you're growing in the Lord, while you're walking in wisdom. You got to be gentle with others, especially new converts. We're too quick sometimes in independent Baptist churches of expecting them to conform in 2 weeks before we pronounce them unclean. And just think about how long it took for God to work in you to get you to the point where you are now. Let's show that same gentleness and patience towards them too. Well, we're going to have to just fly through the rest of these. And so what's the score anyway? 5-3? 3-3? Well, we'll get to one at the end then. All right, wisdom, D, is easy to be entreated. That means it's easily obeyed or complied with. God's directions to us are never impossible. God never asks us to do what's impossible. What He asks us to do, His grace can enable us to do. The verse down here, Matthew 11:30, says, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. 1 John 5:3 says, His commandments are not grievous. Okay? God's not going to crush you under a load of things He expects of you. That's not wisdom. So don't be like that with other people either. Don't be like that with your kids. E, wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. God's wisdom and will for our lives always leads us to be merciful, and as a result, to live a fruitful life. God wants you to live a fruitful life. Colossians 1:10 talks about being fruitful in every good work. Your prayer life should be fruitful. Your Bible study life should be fruitful. Your witnessing life should be fruitful. Your Christian service in your church should be fruitful. And your stewardship should be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in every good work. And if you'll ask Him for wisdom, that's the life He'll lead you into. So that everything He asks you to do ends up being fruitful and ends up being a joy in your life. I mean, if your prayer life is fruitful, it's a joy to pray. It's not some drudgery, oh, I've got to pray for an hour. F, without partiality, there is no favoritism in wisdom. The Bible says we should do everything without partiality. And because you know what happens when there's partiality, man, does that wreck families. Boy, that wrecks churches. Just you know? Some churches just want the rich or the middle class, you know, and the money and the poor forsaken. God's not, that's not wisdom. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. We want poor people in the church because they can really move mountains by faith. Rich people, a lot of times, they don't even know how to pray or fast or anything. Wisdom should be without partiality in your marriage, in your with your children. You got to love every one of your children equally, even though you got to love them differently because they're all different, but equally. Then without hypocrisy, wisdom. Our decisions, behavior, words, and works will never be a poor testimony to Jesus Christ, to His Word, or to His church. That's wisdom. That's wisdom there without being a hypocrite. It's destructive. Hypocrisy is one of the most destructive sins in our churches today, in our families today. Kids growing up and seeing mom and dad aren't real. And they bolt from the faith as soon as they get the chance. All right, so let's break the tie with this and then we'll close in prayer. Draw swords, everybody. This is the last one. Find out who our winner is tonight. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Go. Proverbs 4, 7. It's for all the marbles, all the cough drops back there. All right. So the ladies win tonight. All right. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. So this year, we're talking about walking with God. As you've received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in Him. And if you're walking in Him, you're walking with wisdom. There's another Proverbs that says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Who's wiser than God? No one. So you walk with wisdom, you walk with God, you're walking with wisdom. And you should be able, maybe from tonight on, if you'll apply this, you should be able to live a life from now on not making many mistakes. And again, we have meekness of wisdom, not pride. Not like, oh, I don't make a mistake. No, that is a mistake, pride. But really, we should be able to get to the end of our lives and look back and say, Jesus led me all the way. The psalmist said, He will guide us even unto our death. Wow. Isn't that great? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight and help us, Lord, to walk with thee and to know what it means this year. And Lord, tonight it means to walk in wisdom, the fear of God. And the knowledge of God is infinite understanding. And asking Him, as it says in Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And if that's true, Lord, we shouldn't be making any mistakes. And if so, not many. And so, God, help us tonight to understand the message and by your Holy Spirit to make the practical application. In Jesus' name, amen.